Honorable members.
Morning, Chairperson.
Morning, Chair.
How are you?
Good, good. And you, Chair?
Very well. Can you just check the your connectivity? Is our minister here? Babawa is ill. DM, is our minister here today? Good morning, DM.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, Rev. Rev, I'm sorry I didn't answer your call. I was logging in.
Call
you after the meeting.
No problem.
Good morning, yes. Members.
Yes.
Yes, the ministers are attending the Joint Select Committee on Intelligence.
Oh, the
we
minister
are appearing before that committee.
Yes, the minister.
Yeah, he apologized. So.
All right. Sorry, DM.
Yeah.
It's just that Babawa is ill. So Nicolette is doing all the work with Sutu now, okay? But there's no problem.
No, that's fine, Chair. That's fine.
There's absolutely no
okay,
problem.
Okay, she must get well.
Oh, yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Chair.
They've been working very hard, eh?
Yes.
Aye. Honorable members, is our whip here? I cannot start without the whip. Can we do the apologies in the meantime, Nicolette?
Good morning, honorable members, honorable Chair. We have received an apology from the honorable Minister of Police as well as honorable Sheikh Imam. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Groenewoud also sent an apology. That's why I'm saying, you know, apologies because people are sending their letters to Babawa, and we know Babawa is ill. Honorable Whitfield said that he is going to be attending late. Honorable Meshu is requesting that he be excused by 9:45 to attend the Portfolio Committee on International Relations. We are welcoming. We're going to do the agenda and the minutes. I'm just waiting for the whip. Nicolette, do we have a quorum?
Chairperson, yes, we do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, while we are still waiting for the honorable whip, could we start with the agenda and approve the agenda since we have a quorum? Nicolette, please slide the agenda.
Chairperson, it's on the screen.
Honorable members, we have the apologies which are done. The opening remarks will be done by the chair. The matters arising, we'll do the minutes now, the public hearings, and then the closure. Do I have a proposal for adoption?
Linda Moss proposes.
Linda Moss, Honorable Linda Moss proposes. Do I have a seconder? Honorable members, do I have a seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Majozi. Seconds. Honorable members, that takes us to the minutes of the meeting. Nicolette, can I have the minutes, please? Nicolette, can I have the minutes, please? Thank you, Nicolette. Honorable members, the draft minutes of the 19th of October, Sheikh Imam moved for the adoption. It was seconded by Honorable Majozi. You have been given the minutes Do you have any corrections or additions? Honorable De Blanche? De Blanche, do you have?
Chairperson, yes? I'm fine at the moment, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Majozi, any corrections or additions? Honorable Marekwa, I noted that you called me.
No, Chairperson, nothing.
Honorable Marekwa, I noted that you called me. Apologies, I was getting ready. You know it's a nightmare that we all have attended to. Honorable Peacock, do you have any additions, corrections?
No, Chair.
Thanks. Shembeni, corrections or additions?
Oh, thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable members, I have perused the minutes and studied the minutes. I have no corrections or additions. I am happy with the minutes. Do we have any proposal for adoption of the minutes? Honorable Shembeni, please mute your mic. Honorable Meshu, please mute your mic. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the minutes?
Chairperson, I propose for the adoption
Honorable
of the minutes.
Peacock. Honorable Peacock proposes adoption of the minutes. Do I have a seconder?
I second, Chairperson. That's what I wanted to do.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Meshu, seconding the minutes. Honorable members, that takes us now to the introduction by the Chairperson. I would like to welcome all those members who are present and welcome the members of the public and stakeholders who are going to be doing presentations on POCTATARA today. We would like to complete the POCTATARA Bill and Act since we know that the situation of our country being grey-listed depends on what we are doing as a committee. This is our item which we need to do. This is one of the many items which were listed for the state to attend to. Let it not be said that this committee did not attend to the POCTATARA bill, and we were part of being responsible for the country being grey-listed. If the country is grey-listed, it has serious implications for all of us, and I do not want this committee to be part of the problem instead of being part of the solution. Honourable members, I have perused the Kinnear report yesterday. I have indicated to members that we will peruse the report. That the report it's a document which is classified, and that classified document, honorable members, will remain classified. Honorable members, we need to answer the following questions. I have called a physical sitting for the House of the 9th of November, and the committee will deal with the following questions. One, we need an explanation why the report was sent to the committee, and we'll receive those explanations in terms of what is expected of the committee. Two, why the report was classified. In the last meeting, the executive director indicated that the Kinnear report was classified because senior officials were implicated. This is not a sufficient reason for the committee. The committee has then requested that the IPIT ED executive director explains further, because even if a senior member of SAPS or any institution of SAPS or committee of SAPS is implicated, they are not exonerated from any form of investigation. The president of the country has subjected himself to the full might of the law. The president of the country needs to be respected for allowing himself to be investigated. If the president of the country has been investigated, we need an explanation as a committee why the IPIT report is classified if the real reason is that senior officials have been implicated. We are not going to deal with the content of who and how. That is not the business of us. We are not going to discuss the report in the media. we're not going to discuss the report in the committee. It will remain a classified report. I will not ask for the report to be declassified. The content of the report is not my business because it's classified. First question is, why the report was sent to the committee? Two, why the report is classified? Three, what has been done by the minister, the national commissioner, the IPED head, the DPCI head? What have they done with the recommendations of the report? If the report says certain individuals had to be subjected to disciplinary hearings or disciplinary action, they have to report on whether they have actually implemented that disciplinary action. That is not classified information. They have to respond to all the recommendations. There are simple recommendations which are operational, which had to be implemented by the National Commissioner. There are certain recommendations. You, honorable members, will read those recommendations and we will respond to, they need to respond to those recommendations. Not giving details of any criminal charges laid about anybody, no details about whatever in the report. I simply want to know what they have done. They must give us a progress report. If there is no progress, they need to explain to the committee why. They will all be summoned to the committee on the 9th of November. They will all be expected to be there physically. Honorable members, we still have another set of minutes. We'll do that at the end of the meeting. I still need to approve the minutes of the 14th of October. I was just waiting for us to ascertain whether we are ready. Nicolette says she's ready with the 14th of October. I'll take it at the end of the meeting. Honorable members, we are not going to say much about the report. I'm not going to give any interviews to the media. For now, we will say as little as possible. Those of you who will peruse the report, as I've said, it's classified. We were given permission by the speaker to peruse it. I request and humbly request that all the members peruse the report. We will be taking those responses from the minister, the national commissioner, the executive director of IPED, and the DPCI head. Those are the four members who have to not give us the content of the report, but what they have done and why they have done certain things. We need clarity. I have to inform you that members must start to engage with the Pocta Tarabill. Members, I request that you engage with the Pocta Tarabill because we are going to be processing the bill. I'm not rushing this bill through the committee. The members must indicate which clauses you want amended or not. If you do not indicate this to me in writing within a week's time, I will conclude that the bill will go through as it is with the recommendations on amendments made and accepted by the committee. The committee has had 5 meetings on the Pocta Tara Amendment Bill. This does not mean that I've rushed the bill through the committee. Honorable members, kindly please engage with the bill. Send me your recommendations. You have a week to do so. We have been busy with this bill for a long time now, and we've already had 5 meetings on the Pocta Tara bill. I have noted the hand of the following members, and I will take the following member, who is Honorable Blanche, before we start with the Pocta Tara presentation. Honorable Blanche?
Jefferson, thank you. I just want to acknowledge what you said. I think you covered all the important issues. And I just want to inform you, I made an appointment to go you know, go through the bill or the report on Friday. So when we are going to meet, I'm quite confident that I'll be in a position to talk about that in detail. So thank you. In the meantime, I am covered for now. Thank you.
Honorable de Blanche, you do accept that I'm not going to discuss the content and details of the report. I want those questions answered. Those questions will be put to the minister, the national commissioner, the head of the DPCI, and the executive director of IPIT. Mr. do I have any further questions or comments from the committee members? If none, honorable members, Mr. Rob Hutchinson from Dear South Africa will present, and the civilian secretariat will respond to a submission received from the Fishhook Valley Ratepayers and Residents Association. Welcome and good morning, Mr. Rob Hutchinson. You are welcome to do your presentation. Nicolette, can you please assist Mr. Hutchinson to do his to flight his presentation? Thank you very much.
Good morning, committee, and thank you, Chairperson, for this wonderful opportunity to present the voice of the public on this very important PAC.TARA bill. Quite a mouthful, I must say, the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Amendment Bill. We've had some wonderful feedback from the public across the board. In fact, we had about almost 26,000 public voices coming through, each of which was sent directly through to the committee via email, by written request, and of course captured by our platform. Let me just share a screen here, if I may. Sorry.
Okay. While you are busy arranging your screen, welcome, Honorable Whoop. You're just in time for the presentation. I'm sure you heard the introductory remarks. Honorable Whoop, welcome. You may start the presentation.
All right. I'm just trying to get the screen to work. There we go. Is it sharing?
It is not on our screen. Nicolette, can you assist, please?
Hang on. Sorry, I'll have to rejoin.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. While Mr. Hutchinson rejoined the meeting, I think he lost his connectivity. Maybe we can start with the Secretary on their response to the Fishhook Valley Ratepayers Association.
Welcome. Thank you very much for appearing before the committee. We'll now welcome the submission received from the Fishhook Valley Ratepayers and Residents Association, the Civilian Secretariat. You can do your presentation. Please introduce your team. Deputy Minister, you may introduce your presentation.
I'm with the Acting Secretary and the team. If we can allow them through you, Chair, to present. We'll appreciate that, but thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to interact with the processes of the PAC.TARA Amendment Bill, which is before Parliament. We really appreciate this opportunity to also hear the submissions from other stakeholders who have gone through the bill and want to make their submission to be considered
as we finalize this process. Thank you very much. If you may allow that the secretary and the team can lead in the presentation. Through secretary.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. You may start the presentation.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, members, and Deputy Minister.
Morning, Mr. Amaro and your team.
Yeah, Advocate Yolanda Grizinga will lead the presentation through you, Chairperson.
Thank you. You may start.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and Honorable members of the committee. Yes, the Secretariat for the Committee forwarded to the Civilian Secretariat for Police on the 13th of October written public submissions received by the Fishhook Valley Ratepayers and Residents Association. For the purposes of today's presentation, I will refer to them as the commentator. The Civilian Secretariat for Police really appreciates the fact that the submission was sent to us to provide responses, and we wish to present such responses to the committee today. Thank you, Chair. Next slide, please. I assume the members of the committee have received the two-page submission by the commentator, so I'm not going to go into the detail of the written submissions, and in the presentation, I'm merely going to summarize the comments that have been made and the departmental responses thereto in a summary way. Chairperson, first of all, the commentator refers us to Section 1A, Roman 6 and FF of the Principal Act under the definition of terrorist activity. This particular part of the definition indicates that terrorist activity means any act which is designed or calculated to cause serious interference with or serious disruption of an essential service, a facility or system, or the delivery of any such service, facility or system, whether public or private. Now, in its written submission, the commentator, Chair, has given a few examples of actions that they regard may be seen as terrorist activities in terms of this definition provided for in the bill. For example, the commentator is of the opinion that municipal mayors, in terms of their work in relation to sewage treatment or water plants, labor unions in unsupported strike action, disrupting essential services, and even actions by the president or the health minister in declaring a state of disaster during the COVID lockdowns, would be seen as committing terrorist activities that would cause major economic losses to the country. Next slide, please. Chair, now for the benefit of the committee, I've quoted in response from the department, I've quoted Section 1.3 of the Principal Act, just to put context to our response. Section 1.3 reads that for the purposes of paragraphs A, Roman 6 and Roman 7, which is the comment that the commentator made inputs on, the definition of terrorist activity, any act which is committed in pursuance of any advocacy, protest, dissent or industrial action, and which does not intend the harm contemplated in these paragraphs, shall not be regarded as a terrorist activity within the meaning of the definition in the Principal Act. We therefore submit, Chair, that the examples that was mentioned by the commentator will therefore not fall within the ambit of the definition of terrorist activity, because it simply lacks the intent to cause any harm. When one combines these activities and the intent in the examples mentioned by the commentator, it falls outside the Act. However, we had to come up with this type of definition for terrorism because terrorism is an ever-evolving crime and our definitions have to be wide enough to cover any future activities and eventualities. Next slide, please. Chair, then in terms of the second comment by the commentator, they refer to the substitution of Section 3.1c of the Principal Act, whereby the words joining, supporting, or in any manner was inserted in the section, and they are requesting that these act, words should actually be defined in the Principal Act. Next slide, please. Chair, again, for the benefit of the committee, I've quoted Section 3 of the Principal Act. The areas in bold and in underlining are the words that were inserted in the current Principal Act. As we can see, it reads that to say that offences associated or connected with terrorist activities, any person who makes himself or herself available for the benefit of, at the direction of, or in association with any entity engaging in a terrorist activity, and who knows or ought reasonably to have known or suspected that such act was done for the purpose of enhancing the ability of such entity to engage in a terrorist activity is guilty of the offence. Now, the words joining and supporting have been added to this particular section to strengthen the section, and the words must actually be only understood in line with its ordinary meaning. And in our view, it does not need to be defined in the legislation because the ordinary meaning of those words are clear. Next slide, please. Chair, the third comment is the insertion of Section 3.3 of the words of lethal device. And the commentators of the view that the insertion of these words will have the implication that any training in the use of handguns and rifles may also be seen as terrorist activities. Next slide, please. Chairperson, the use of the words lethal device should be understood in the context of Section 3.2 of the Principal Act as quoted below. Any person, and I'll move on to subsection C, that provides, receives, or participates in training or instruction, or recruits an entity to receive training or instruction, connected with the engagement in a terrorist activity, and who knows or ought to reasonably have known or suspected that such weapons, soliciting, training, recruitment, document or thing is so connected, is guilty of an offence connected with a terrorist activity. The emphasis is on this particular part because that particular training must be specifically connected to the engagement of a terrorist activity. Normal lawful possession of firearms in terms of the Firearms Control Act will not constitute such an offence connected with terrorist activities in terms of the POCTA-TARA, unless it is connected with the engagement in a terrorist activity and it can be proven that such a person knew or ought to have reasonably known or suspected that such firearms are so connected with the terrorist activities. Next slide, please. Then, Chairperson, the fourth comment relates to Section 5 of the Principal Act. Section 5, Chair, of the Principal Act relates to the explosives, or rather offences relating to explosives and other lethal devices. And it says, I'm just quoting from the Act, it says, any person who intentionally delivers, places, discharges, or detonates an explosive or other lethal device in or against a place of public use, a state of government facility, a public transport facility, a public transportation system, or any infrastructure facility with the purpose of, amongst others, causing death or seriously bodily injury or extensive damage to or destruction of such a place, facility, or system, where such destruction results in or is likely to result in major economic loss, is guilty of an offense relating to explosives or other lethal devices. So the commentator is saying that this particular section may lead to any person acting in self-defense to be labeled as a terrorist. So it is their interpretation of Section 5 of the Act. In response, Chairperson, the department wants to indicate that the comments that the commentator made fails to appreciate the fact that the activity mentioned in that particular part of the Act must be accompanied by the necessary terrorist intent as defined. And we also need to indicate that no prosecution under Chapter 2 of the Principal Act may in any event be instituted without the written authority of the National Director. So the assessment of the use will in fact, and the intent thereof, will all be evaluated by the national director before any prosecution will be instituted. Next slide, slide 11, please, comment 5. The commentator indicates here that the Bill's amendment of section 23 in relation to freezing orders is troublesome, and the conditions under which the High Court can assume control over property must be specified. Next slide, please. Chair, in terms of section 23, the High Court may make an order only if the state's application shows that the conditions that are described in the Act are met. The grounds for making a freezing order are therefore very clear in the Act. The terms of such an order are also very clear and provided for in subsection 23.1. The condition for any further orders that the High Court may make relating to the control of and care for property is subject to the freezing order is that such orders are strictly limited to what is appropriate for the proper, fair and effective execution of the freezing order. These are spelled out in the Act in detail as well. So we are of the opinion that no further conditions are therefore required to assist the court in making an order that strikes a balance between the objectives of freezing property that is implicated in the financing of terrorist activities or organizations and fairness to whomever may have an interest in property that is subject to a freezing order. Next slide, please. This was the last comment made by the commentator, and it has been indicated that section 24B in the bill is problematic because of the demand for a decryption key for detecting any crime falls on the side of discovery and poor investigative work, and it is alleged that this insertion may lead to invasion of privacy. Next slide, please. Chairperson, as the department has indicated in its detailed responses that we also presented to the committee on the 14th of September this year, we have indicated that this section 24B will be revisited, but for the effective enforcement of the order provided for in this section, assistance by electronic communication service providers are required. And a similar provision to Section 21 of the Cyber Crimes Act is being considered through the revisiting process of this clause. That ends my presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Just to clarify, Members, the commentator declined the invitation to make an oral presentation on their submission. So the commentators were invited to the committee, but they declined to do their presentation to the committee. Thank you very much for the clarity and your presentation from the side of the Civilian Secretariat. We are always assisted by you, Mr. Amaru, Deputy Minister. Thank you very much for assisting the committee. Honourable Members, I'll open the floor for your comments or questions. I'll take hands now. Honourable de Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I just want to the presenter to go back for us to page 4 of the presentation. And while she's doing that, she said there that, you know, my understanding that the definition must be wide enough, should, and that is my own wording now, be, you know, if, you know, the crime, she's saying that we're dealing with the ever-changing sort of crime pattern or whatever, and that the definition must be wide enough to cater for that. If she can just maybe spell out in more detail, I am not exactly sure that I understood correctly what she meant or what the lawmaker or, you know, what a draft is about. Chairperson, I don't know whether I made myself clear enough. Thank you. If I did, then it's fine.
Thank you, Honorable Tablange, Honorable Wolf, Honorable Siabi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the Deputy Minister, the delegation from Secretariat, honorable members, and everybody who's on the platform. I'm just taking advantage of the question raised by Honorable Tablange. When we were doing oversight on the issue of illegal mining, we met with communities, and communities were presenting to us that this activity of illegal mining, where illegal miners are threatening communities, they are heavily armed, should be classified as terrorism because it has the potential to threaten the stability and the economy of the country. Like I'm saying, I'm just taking advantage and checking with the presenter if that would qualify, or the definition, as they put it, would include such activities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whip. Firstly, allow me to thank you for leading the joint oversight visits with the Department of, or the Committee of Minerals and Energy. Honorable Whip, you have reported this to me, and it is a matter which is of serious concern to the committee. You are not taking advantage of the presentation. It is a very valid and valuable input that you are making, and I respect that this has been mentioned. So, Honorable Whip, Honorable Siabe, we respect and appreciate the comment that you have made. Honorable Meshu Shembeni, you may respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I request that we go back to page 3? I have a question based on that. Page 2. Yeah, you know, it's on page 3. Now, obviously, the presenter said, responding to what the ratepayers are saying, that the president might also be accused of having committed terrorism, because what they did with during the state of disaster was not intended to cause any harm. Now, my question around that is, when we talk about causing harm, how do we define this harm? Is it physical harm, emotional harm, mental harm, or how do they define the word harm? What kind of harm are we referring to in the bill? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Meshu, Honorable Shembeni, and then Honorable Majozi.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the Deputy Minister and Honorable Members. Thanks for the presentation. I just want to quickly check, Chair, with the those people committing crimes like heist, whereby assault rifles are being used, and these zamazamas, as the whip mentioned, if a person is being found in possession of such firearms, that some of them are not of South African made, are they also regarded as or are they also falling under these terrorism activities? I just want to get a clarity there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Shane Beni, Honorable Majozi.
No, thank you, Chair, and good morning to honorable members. Mine would be on the slide where it explains the Terrorist Act. And maybe my question would be similar to what Honorable Michelle has asked as well, that a Terrorist Act, do you take it when maybe there's bodily harm or people die or what? What happens when the government is held at ransom? That if this does not happen, then this is what we will do. How then do we define that within the act, and how do we take it? Because if we are saying the definition is that there are actions that are not a terrorist act, but whereas there are scenarios where maybe schools were like what happened in Mpumalanga, when kids were taken out of school and saying there will be no school up until you release these illegal minors and so forth. So you are holding the government at ransom, but at the same time we are saying maybe it might not be a terrorist act. So I want a more further explanation on that, Chair, on how do they exactly define it within the act itself of the Terrorist Act. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, may I make a follow-up, please?
Yes, Honorable Nation.
If you look at the last sentence on page 4, that is on the screen now, the presenter said that terrorism is an ever-evolving crime, and our definitions have to be wide enough to cover future activities. I think this opens a can of worms, because anybody in future, without amending the definition, can say what is happening is also a kind of a terrorism activity. So would this kind of sentence not make the public vulnerable? Because if you want to cover future activities that are not defined, how will the innocence of the people be protected? When we talk about crime that is evolving, and because crime is evolving, definitions must also be wide. I think the wider the definition, the more confusion there is going to be, because if it's too wide, people can interpret it the way they want. And I don't think, obviously, would have a problem. I would have a problem. They would have a problem with that sentence and that explanation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mesho, Honorable Shimbeni, you may lower your hand. You may remove the presentation now. Honorable Deputy Minister, anything you would like to say to respond, or else we'll hand over to Mr. Amaru and his team. Honorable Deputy.
I think, thank you, Chair, and thanks for the questions. I'll request that we allow Mr. Amaru to lead with the responses.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Mr. Amaru and your team, you may respond. Could I, in the meantime, request that Mr. Hutchinson prepares himself for his presentation? Has he joined the meeting again, Nicolette?
Yes, Chairperson, he is ready.
Zach, could you assist him with his presentation? I'll deal with it after these responses. Mr. Amaru, you may respond with your team.
Thank you, Chairperson. The advocate, Yolanda, and Advocate Bell will respond. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You may go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Yes, I will attempt to respond to some of the questions, and if I then may ask if colleagues from the FIC and SAPS and National Treasury, you know, the party departments that assisted us with this can also assist with responses where possible, where I have left gaps. I will much appreciate that. Thank you, Chair. I think on the question of the issue about terrorism being an ever-involving crime, and our definitions have to be wide enough to cover future activities, the idea around that is not to say that each and every thing that will happen that will fall within the current definition of the act will be regarded as a terrorist activity, because members will appreciate the fact that we are still saying that there needs to be the necessary intent and the culpability must be proven for the action to be regarded as a terrorist activity. And there is this process where the National Prosecuting Authority will evaluate all the circumstances, the evidence, before even taking a decision to go ahead with prosecution. And then even if there is then a going ahead with prosecution, the courts can also, while dealing with the matter in the court, decide whether there was indeed terrorist activities going on or not. Then, what was the other one? Honourable Shembeni mentioned the issue about causing harm. Heists? Oh. For example, the examples that were mentioned that recently happened in Mpumalanga, that would not be falling within the ambit of the Poktatara, but it can be dealt with in terms of criminal law. I think I'll just stop there. If some of the other colleagues can kindly assist me with some of the other responses.
Thank you very much. That was very good. I appreciate your responses. Do you have additional responses from your team, Mr. Ramaru? Ms. Klitzinger, thank you for assisting us. You've really guided us on this bill. I would like us to have all the comments and amendments made. After the 9th, we will consider the bill with its amendments for consideration and adoption by the committee. Mr. Ramaru, further comments?
From our side, we don't have further comments, but if the chairperson allows, if colleagues from National Treasury and the Department of Justice can contribute, if anything. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. That takes care of the Civilian Secretariat. Good. I have an indication if any of the other departments would like to respond before I take the follow-up questions from Honourable Meshu and Honourable Siabi. Do we have any responses from the other departments? We have the hands of Peter Smith and S. van Breda. Could I first take S. van Breda and then Peter Smith, please?
Good morning, Chair, and honourable members.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, what I've noted in respect of...
Kindly please introduce yourself and where you come from for the records of this committee and our report.
Apologies, Chair. I'm Mr. Van Breda. I'm from the Chief State Law Advisor's Office. And we assist the committee with the processing of the bill, especially with amendments which the committee wishes to bring to the bill. So we work together with the Parliamentary Law Advisor, and we draft the A-list, and we also assist the committee with constitutional issues there may be. See, in respect of the most of the comments I've noted from the commentator is in respect of of the definition of terrorist activity. And most of the concerns are in respect of parts of that definition which are already in the Principal Act. Now, there may be a misunderstanding or a misconception because the bill essentially brings insertions and deletions, amendments to the Principal Act. So what we see in the bill, whatever is underlined, those are insertions. Whatever is in bold and brackets, those are deletions. So what I've noted is that, as an example, the Fishhook Valley is referred to paragraph C of the definition of terrorist activity. That is on page 7 of the bill. Now, that concerns, that particular paragraph is currently in the Principal Act, so what it provides for is terrorist activity means any act, C, which is committed directly or indirectly in whole or in part for the purpose of the advancement of an individual or collective political, religious, ideological, or philosophical motive, objective, cause, or undertaking. Now, this bill is in fact deleting that paragraph. Now, there were concerns in respect of possible violations of rights of freedom of expression, rights to religion, etc. So the amendments the bill brings to the definition are not an overhaul, hauling amendment. These amendments were in fact minor. So what the committee must also take in consideration is that the definition is also subject to paragraph B, which is, you'll see it on page 7 of the bill. So there is what the Civilian Secretariat was referring to as intention. So all of the actions referred to in paragraph A of the definition is subject to paragraph B, which provides that which is intended or by its nature and context can reasonably be regarded as being intended in whole or in part, directly or indirectly. And there we list the subparagraphs to threaten the unity of and territorial integrity of the Republic, etc. So, Chair, I just wanted to point that out, that most of the concerns in respect of that definition are what's already in the definition in the Principal Act. Also, Chair, what I'd like to say is that the proposed amendments to the definition are also consistent with the OAU Convention, which the South Africa is a signatory to. And that convention, Chair, give me a moment. It's the OAU Convention on the Prevention and Combating of Terrorism. Now, that particular convention was signed by the Republic, and it provides a definition of terrorist act. So the amendments which are being brought to the definition in the act are quite consistent with what's been provided by this convention. And so, Chair, just as the Civilian Secretariat has indicated, intention is the key factor here. Intention must be proven, and that would be as reflected in paragraph B of the definition. So, Chair, that's all I have to, all my input. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, thank you very much, Mr. Van der Breda. Mr. Van der Breda, you were also, that was a very good response, and thank you for that. You responded also to the Dear South Africa report, and you were largely referring to the reference of the freedom of religion. So I appreciate that. That clarity, and again, my appreciation. We are not rushing the amendment, but we need to finish it. Mr. Smith, you from the Financial Intelligence Center. You have the floor, and I really appreciate your presence here today, and I know that you further assist the committee. Mr. Smith, over to you now.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, Deputy Minister and other honourable members. My comment was going to be very similar to the one that Mr. Pombradar just made. It's both in response to some of the comments from the commentator, but also some of the subsequent questions and comments from honourable members. And I think just to explain a bit further, that to understand this very complex definition of terrorist activity in the Pakatara Act as it stands currently, one has to break the definition in two parts. The first part lists a long list of activities which can be performed, and most of those are very serious criminal activities in and of themselves. But then to consider whether those activities arise to the level where it could be characterized as a terrorist activity, those activities must be performed with a specific intention, as Mr. Funzar said, that is spelled out in the B part, the second leg of the definition. And those are specifically intentions to destabilize the state, to threaten the state into taking a certain action or withholding actions, etc. So unless both of those legs are met, an activity would not arise to a terrorist activity, even though it might be a very serious criminal activity. And I think that it's important to understand that both of these conditions need to be met for something to be considered a terrorist activity. In some cases, this attenuates the scope of the definition. In other words, it limits the scope of the definition to things that would otherwise be considered very harmful activities, such as the disruptive actions that we've seen with the example that we mentioned here with illegal mining, etc. But in other instances, it would also mean that it distinguishes where something that could be either very innocent behavior, firearm training, for instance, could arise to terrorist activity if it is done with the intent of training armed members of a terrorist organization. And I think that is a distinguishing fact. One cannot say with certainty in black and white that this activity is always terrorist activity or that activity is never terrorist activity, because it depends on whether it is connected to this B part of the definition. And I think just a final comment, as Mr. Primbergaard also said, this B part of the definition is part of the case that the state must prove beyond reasonable doubt in a prosecution if the state was to charge a person or an organization with terrorism or involvement in terrorist activity. So that is not something that can just be assumed. The onus is on the state to prove that, and it's for that reason that the National Director of Public Prosecution must then exercise the discretion to determine whether the state, in fact, has the factual information that can bring us evidence to prove that second leg of the definition. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll end there. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Honourable members, I'll take a second round of questions now. Some of the hands have disappeared. I assume that you received some of your responses. I've now noted Honourable Meshu, Honourable Siabi, and then Honourable Shembeni in that order.
And thank you, Chairperson. My question about causing any harm has not been answered, because I asked, what harm are we talking about? Are we talking about physical harm, mental harm, psychological, or even economic harm? What kind of harm are we referring to that can be classified terrorist? Thank you. And besides that, if people have to be charged with terrorism and you have to go to court to prove that your intention was not to cause harm, the public obviously is not always kind when people have a charge of terrorism on their head. Is there no danger that innocent people who are charged with terrorism might have their integrity undermined, challenged, or negatively affected because you are accused of being involved in terrorism? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Siabe, and then Honorable Shimbeni.
Thank you, Chair. maybe Mr. Brada and Mr. Smith may assist, because my question was the issue of illegal mining, where these illegal miners are heavily armed, threatening killing citizens of South Africa. We may not be aware of the intention, and I don't know how we're going to prove the intention, but this activity threatened the security of the country, because the police cannot effectively deal with them. And most of them practicing this illegal activity are foreigners. They are threatening the security of the country. They are killing citizens of the country, being foreigners. They are heavily armed, Mr. Shembeni said, even with the illegal armaments. They are threatening the economy of the country. I don't know whether if this person threatens the security of the country and the economy of the country. To an extent that the community members are saying, can you please deploy the South African Defense Force? Because police are not trained to deal with these issues. But the South African Police Force does not negotiate. They are trained to deal with such kind of things. Now, my question is, having sketched that scenario, does it qualify to be defined as a terrorist act? Is it covered in that wide definition? Or Mr. Brothers referred us to the Principal Act, the definition in the Principal Act, A and B. That's my question, because after doing our oversight, some of these community members are asking questions as to, because we have made presentation, what is it? And in some instances, we even said they must make presentation to the Poktara Act. So if they can assist me in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Whip. Honorable Shimbeni, before I take any further questions, Mr. Van Burda, what our Whip is saying is critical. I'm not putting you on the spot, but could we please respond to Whip? Because the Whip is actually expressing the views of the committee. He's also, I'm also in support of what the Whip is asking, and I would like us to have a response to the questions and comments by our Honorable Whip. Mr. Van Burda, could you please take that, and then I'll take Honorable Shimbeni. Honorable Meshu also asked the question. Mr. Van Burda, I'll first take the response to the Whip, and then I'll take Honorable Shimbeni.
Thank you, Chair. May I respond?
Yes, you may.
Yes, Chair. I think it probably would not be appropriate for me to respond to say whether that particular incident would qualify. I think that would be for SAPS and the NPA to decide. However, what I can say is that any action which would qualify as a terrorist activity in terms of the Act would need to comply with paragraphs A and B, particularly paragraph B, which provides for the intention, and there it lists those subparagraphs which would qualify as an intention to commit a terrorist act. So that's all I could say in that regard. I wouldn't be able to comment on whether that particular incident would qualify. That would be for the NPA and for the SAPS to decide upon. Thank you, Chair.
Could we have an urgent response to this? Thank you very much, Mr. Van der Breda. Nicolette, could we have an urgent response to this? Before we move forward with the amendments, and could the responses be sent to the committee members particularly the whip and the chain writing, please, to all the members. We'd really like a response to this. Honorable Shembeni, Honorable Whip, would you like a follow-up, or is that the historical end?
Oh, sorry, Chair, it's a historical end. I'll lower it.
Thank you, my Whip.
Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Shembeni and then Honorable Majozi. Then we'll take another round of responses.
Thank you, Chair. I was not properly answered. I think the presenter just touched on the question and just left it like that. Why I was asking that one of the highest is that I'm of the view that sometimes the highest might be crimes committed with an aim of sponsoring maybe certain organizations in or outside South Africa financially. So that's why when asking about this question of the highest, the types of firearms, the high caliber of firearms being used, and the people involved in such crimes, and when checking at the arrest, you find different types of people forming that group that commits such offenses. And then I'm just of the view that is it this not falling under terrorism? And then I did not get a clarity there. That's why now, as I'm trying to explain a bit further, that you might find out that certain organizations are behind the heist, because now they will be getting money from the banks to sponsor their activities outside or inside South Africa. Now, another thing, if we can look at the originality of terrorism, where it's coming from, so we say there is terrorism. Initially, it was focused on, to say, in South Africa, from certain organizations under certain government. But now, when we look at it, now it is taking local crimes and whatever, now that we say now they are falling under terrorism. I doubt whether the definition of terrorism is giving us the right thing, or we are trying to run away from the originality of terrorism. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Majozi. Honorable Majozi, are you there? Welcome, Honorable Groenewald. Honorable Majozi, I don't see Honorable Majozi. You may respond. I have noted Honorable Majozi, but I don't see her on the platform. Could we have responses? Mr. Amaru?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think what the Honorable Shembeni has asked is a similar thing that Mr. Van Brada has just responded to, which should be covered by the response that the NPA and SAPS needs to provide in writing, as the chairperson has directed earlier. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, as I said, all your questions and all your recommendations have to be responded to. We'll take this, when we take the bill, we'll have to go through it clause by clause. And by the time we do that presentation, the questions and the concerns of the members have to be responded to. If there's anyone else who would wish to respond, I'm going to take the next presentation. But as I said, honorable members, we are now reaching we're going towards the end of considering the amendment bill, and we now would like our responses. As committee members, we can no longer leave our questions unanswered. And then if you are not responding to our questions, you are actually delaying the committee, and such delay will not be accepted. The lack of responses will also not be accepted. Could I have further responses if you have hands? Honourable Deputy Minister, kindly please be informed that the committee would like to finalise these amendments, and that we would like those responses so that we can finalise the bill. We are closing on the 2nd of December, and by the 2nd of December we have less than 5 meetings left. The committee needs certain responses, and we need to process this bill. Thank you very much. I'll take the next presentation now.
Chair.
Yes, Honourable Deputy Minister.
Are there responses that we have not provided for with regard to the comments that were made by the public, so that we know which ones are those, and we make sure that we respond to you at time as well.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. Mr. Amaro has noted and indicated to us that he will respond in writing. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Okay, I'll follow it up, Chair, and make sure that you get them.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister. Mr. Amaro, can you please send your responses to the Deputy Minister and to the Chair of the Committee and to the Minister? I'll take my next presentation, please. Mr. Hutchinson, are you ready?
I am ready, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity once again. Thank you to the honourable members as well for allowing Dear South Africa to present the voice of the public on this important bill. If I may share my screen.
Mr. Hutchinson, my apologies for interrupting you. I just have to address an honourable member. Honourable Majozi, I noted your hand. You will be allowed to raise your question after the presentation of Mr. Hutchinson. You were disconnected. I called you. You had lost connectivity. Kindly please reserve your question for after the presentation of Mr. Hutchinson. We are still dealing with the amendment bill. Mr. Hutchinson, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. All right, if I may share my screen there and hope it works this time. There we go. All right, if I could start with a quick introduction of what DSA is. We are a public participation organization that promotes public participation, encourages public participation, and does facilitate it and encourage people to have their say. We hold no opinion. We are unbiased in what we do, and we carry on as we do, but we just present the voice of the public as such. We are a nonpartisan organization. We are a non-profit, and we assist government at all levels, and we do so in our non-profit mandate at no charge to government. We also assist other NGOs, and we attempt to bring civil society together. We have completed over 200 public participation campaigns over the last 4 years. As most of you would know, we've delivered over 4 million individual submissions to the parliamentary committees and other bodies. And we've done that through 1.2 million subscribers, which we've gathered over the years. We promote nationwide participation, local, provincial, municipal participation campaigns and surveys. We have a full digital, online and mobile platform embracing the fourth industrial revolution there. And we have, which is extremely busy, we have over 1 million page views a month, and we deliver over 6 million emails per month. We have over 250,000 social media users in our community. So we get accurate reports and a broad opinion from all sectors of society. So we did run a public participation campaign for the POC Tatara Bill, and it was hosted on our platform. And what we included was the published documents as downloadable PDFs, links to relevant media articles. It was a portal which posed questions and a live view of the public comments with a breakdown of how many comments were received. We also provided video summaries taken from the media, from other organizations, and from this committee itself. We posted the committee meetings on there so people can get a thorough understanding of what they are commenting on. Here are the comments pages, the information pages, the videos, and other information and documents which we do encourage people to read before they make a decision or before they comment. On this particular campaign, written submissions and queries were prepared and directed to the portfolio committee, and we sent it to the relevant email address of Ms. Mbengo. As I mentioned already, we hold no partisan approach or opinion, and we present it as an unbiased opportunity for people to have their say, no matter what their views are. I stress we do not run petitions, as a petition would take a particular form. This is proper public participation, open to absolutely anyone. We received a total of 25,652 comments before the closing date, which was 18th of October, after the extension was granted, and they are included in a Excel file and PDF and a report, which should have been distributed. You should have that in your inboxes. So first, if I can go through the reports, we do extensive reporting and data analysis in order to assist government and assist this committee to make accurate decisions based on the sentiment of the public and organizations, and that includes geolocation. So we can see most comments originated from Gauteng and followed by the Western Cape and then KZN, which does reflect the demographics and population density of South Africa. It's always good to know where the comments are coming from so that we can get an accurate assessment of public sentiment and opinion. We also go into employment status, and we offer anyone an opportunity to have their say, and we break it down into self-employed, business owners, students, non-profit organizations, whether people work for it or own it, employed or unemployed. And then we have a section for other, whatever they might classify as other. And we then pose questions to gather proper data. The first and obvious question is, do you support the POC Tatara Bill as proposed by our government? And these are the results thereof. So 0.37% said yes, yes I do. 95.82%, which is 24,580 participants, said no, they do not. And then we offer a not fully section as well, with people who agree with parts of the bill and disagree with other parts of the bill. 3.8% there had indicated they do not fully agree with it. If we break that down by employment status, we can see retired people have the most input on no, I do not, and on yes, I do and not fully. In fact, it's the, not or not fully. Not fully is the employed people who have their biggest say on not fully. And this is a great reflection of where the comments come from, what people are saying and which sectors are more actively engaged in this type of thing. And that's reflected in the comments, at which I'll go through at a later stage. We tend to find retired people are more expressive, maybe it's because we've got more time on their hands, or maybe it's just wisdom comes with age. But we, nonetheless, we have a great, great input from retired. Business owners also play a vital role, as they do control the economy and other sectors which are important to this bill. If we go by province, we can see who said yes, no, I do not, and not fully. And this is all broken down further in the reports and in the Excel spreadsheet, which you can sort at will. We have provided that to the committee members. And second question we ask is, what is your top reason? And this is gathered, the selections are gathered from other organizations expressing their concern, media articles which do bring out major concerns, and of course from the public as well. We provide it in a drop-down list, and we also provide a section for other if people have go beyond the scope of the selection. And as you can show, the top reason selected by most participants is objection to the proposed bill in its entirety, or rather not objection, but their reasoning is the entire bill. And next is freedom of expression and association was a major concern or reason for participating or sending their comment. And then, as we've heard through other presentations, definitions play a vital role in understanding this bill and raising concerns with the public. So if I continue through there, we can go to top reason by status, by employment status. There we can see the bill in its entirety is shared by most through retired business owner, unemployed and employed. However, the data is not conclusive, and I'll go into those reasons why straight away. Here we see more nonprofits express more concern around freedom of expression and association, and the others, students, self-employed, and those who did not specify anything, the bill in entirety. Now, as I was saying, high-level data and statistics do not reveal the full picture, and especially when it comes to selecting the bill in entirety, they can be rather misleading. So what we've done is a comment-by-comment analysis and a broad category analysis as well, broad categories being the selection criteria that we did provide participants. And if we go into that, we produced a word cloud. So what this word cloud is we loaded all comments into our software, and it generates the most popular words, the words that appear the most. And we do set a criteria that a word must appear.
My apologies for interrupting. Mr. Hutchinson, you have half an hour. Please spread your presentation so that you have half an hour. I'll tell you if you have 5 minutes left. So please, your presentation should be in such a manner. We have seen your presentation. We've read it. So please do not read it word for word, and please do not take so long on each slide. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'll explain what word frequency then means. It means a word must appear at least 450 times out of the, there were probably around about 20,000 individual words that did appear. And we show that government and these words appear the most. However, if we filter out the words government and so on, and I'll explain why this is important at a later stage, we can see that freedom, speech, democracy, definition, expression, rights, and people do appear to be the most frequently used or expressed words, which is important, as it does help the committee understand what the fears of the public are and what the sentiment of the public is. Here's just a breakdown which you can go through at your own time. And in as a summary for the responses to question one, which is do you support the bill or not, As I said there, the participants who submitted the valid comments are mostly in support of the bill. However, there are major concerns about possible grey listing of South Africa. It's a valid concern, of course, because the Financial Action Task Force has set a deadline for the committee and other departments to show that they are taking interest in preventing terrorist activity within and without South Africa. So it is a valid reason that has come through in many of the comments. However, some participants are concerned over the growing threat of terrorism, as I said there, especially within the transparency of non-profit organizations, of which there are many in South Africa. Of the not fully comments, which was the second selection in response to question one, the participants again expressed concern over the government overreach and encroachment on constitutional rights. And this is obviously due to the unclear and vague definitions of terrorist and terrorist activities, which several other presenters have addressed already. However, there are more concerns around the use of the word intention. How do you define intention, and how do you prove purpose? If say the mention was made of a heist, cash in transit heists, how do you prove that the purpose of that heist was to fund a terrorist organization, or the intention was to commit an act of terrorism? It's a very grey area, which does raise concern with many participants. And again, the no comments are very similar. Also concerned over the erosion of constitutional rights, freedom of expression and association, the loose definition of the terrorist activity and terrorism, and also a real concern around returning back to apartheid era laws, where laws and acts such as this were used to curb political dissidents. Could we see that happening again? And the feeling is yes, that could be, which is a step backwards in our democracy. So I have provided all the comments in the full reports, which you should have, and also in the Excel spreadsheet or PDF, so you can go through. But what I've picked out here is a couple of good comments for each reason. And each reason, again, is broken down by each section, and we can really go into an incredible amount of depth here to understand what is going on. So the good comments on under the reason from Yes, I Do, for the selection for proposed bill in its entirety. And here's where we go into more detail so we can understand why people have said no for each proposed, why they've said no for the whole proposed bill. Again, the Financial Action Task Force finding South Africa grey listing South Africa. This could be the reason why Parliament is trying to ratify the amendment as soon as possible. As the chairperson did mention, this is the exact reason, and it is a valid reason expressed by many people in this category. People support the bill because we've learned how other people have used others to commit criminal activities in the name of freedom of speech, and nothing has been done about them. So it could be used to curb calls to violence and so on during political rallies and elsewhere. And again, mentions of the grey listing by the Financial Action Task Force. From the Yes, I Do suggestions, again, under freedom of expression and association, terrorism in any form or word affects the lives of innocent women and children and must never be tolerated. Again, that is based on the definition as mentioned in the bill or the amendment bill on what constitutes terrorism. However, as we'll see, that is a major concern going forward. crime is in general is bad in this country, and the amendment and the government needs to take a tough stand. There's no doubt that crime is a problem in South Africa. However, there needs to be a clear definition between what is a criminal activity and what constitutes a terrorist activity. And we have many bills and or many laws in South Africa that are quite effective at dealing with criminal activities and have been used in the past. There's a problem in this bill, which I'll point out again later, which does seem to conflate terrorist activity and criminal activity into one. So again, definition of terrorist activity. Remember, these are comments from the public, not from us. It seems to me this is designed to hold those accountable who would destroy infrastructure and hold violent riots designed to destabilize the economy or undermine unified integrity within the nation. A great comment, and I don't think anyone could disagree with that. However, that is again an overall view from someone who supports the bill. And freedom of religion, as mentioned earlier on by another presenter, there are good amendments in relation to foreign fighters. If a South African citizen goes to fight for an Islamic State, I wish they can revoke their citizenship expressed by one participant. However, we have seen this taking place in through using the act in its current state, and in the arrest of two individuals in South Africa who were off to join ISIS. There's more suggestions from the Yes I Do. These are the other suggestions, not categorized. Any country in the world will protect the sovereignty against what it seems as terrorism, regardless of how we define it. Could not agree more with that. However, the definition needs to be clear. As we've seen, there are many definitions of terrorist or terrorist activity around the world. There's the UN definition. There is a dictionary definition, and each country seems to have their own definition. At this stage, I feel it's probably appropriate to mention a famous quote that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. So it does depend on which side of the fence you are standing. And suggestions from the Yes I Do again, no reason. I don't know why people would object. I'm for anything that will curtail and identify criminality. Innocent people should have nothing to worry about. Again, reflection of the conflation of criminal activity and terrorist activity, which is a problem within the bill, in our view. So from the not fully, which is the second option, we have the same, pretty much the same comments. I'm not going to read through all of them. You can read through them in your own time. But most of them are around the loose definitions, the moving backwards as a country back to apartheid eras, and opportunities for abuse of authority, abuse by authority. This does make it the bill and its loose definitions open for interpretation and can be used to silence political dissidents, opposition parties, members of the public, or outspoken churches and religious bodies, and so on. I'll just go through all of these quickly. As I said, you can read them in your own time. Freedom of expression and association, a major point in throughout our participation. This has come up constantly. And one great suggestion, I would suggest that a clearer distinction needs to be made between what constitutes freedom of speech or opinion and what constitutes extremism or terrorist activity that presents a genuine threat to national security. And that is pretty much unclear. What presents a genuine threat? What is a genuine threat? What is a threat to economic activity or state infrastructure, and so on? So we'll go on there. Definition of terrorist activity, pretty much the same as the previous one. Unacceptable that non-violent opposition against government be categorized as terrorism. Again, that those kind of comments arise because of the loose definitions. Must understand that the members of the public are not legal people, legal experts, majority not legal experts, and therefore don't quite understand the link between this, the act, and the definitions that have to arise from proving intention and purpose either. Definition of terrorist, again, we can just go through that. They're all pretty much the same. And it's terrorism needs to be far more specific. So as an earlier presenter mentioned, it is widening the definition. We tend to think, and the public tends to think in the same vein, that it should not be so broad. It is far too broad as it is. It needs to be condensed and focused on exactly what constitutes terrorist activity. And I would suggest again there, clearly defining what is a criminal activity according to existing laws, and what is terrorist activity according to the existing act and this Bhakti-Tara bill. Freedom of religion, some issues here. It's any citizen's fundamental right to be able to worship his or her way and be associated with his or her group or denomination without fear of intimidation or harassment. There again, it raises issues of encouragement. Would certain religious groups be seen as encouraging terrorist activity? And if so, how? Too many questions around that. And would your association to these religious groups deem you a terrorist? Other reasons, we already have good legislation in place. I tend to agree with that comment from the public, and it has proven effective already. And the problem lies within the execution of legislation by organs of the state. There's a real threat that criminal activity due to under-resourced and underfunded police services and so on could be used as a easy escape route to apprehend someone or detain someone for no reasons. We've seen international examples of this occurring, and we wouldn't like to see that happening in South Africa. So suggestions from the no, I do not, and this category is rather large. First reason, the proposed bill in its entirety, all of these comments, I'd say 90% of these comments do focus around an unclear definition of what a terrorist is or what a terrorist activity is. It is definitely a common theme, which is also expressed in the word cloud, which I showed earlier on. One participant expressed the concern around the constitutionality of this bill, and would it pass or would it survive a challenge in the Constitutional Court? And again, vague definitions. So freedom of expression and association is another concern in the no, I do not category, and the government is hovering close to detention without trial situation, which we have seen in similar bills proposed in other countries. The Patriot Act in the US was one very similar to this bill, and it proposed that political dissidents or those seen as terrorists under loose definition can be detained without any justification for an unrestricted amount of time. One person, very brave, said, if this bill becomes law, we can say goodbye to democracy. Well, I don't know, but it's up to the committee to decide on that. However, the threat definitely is there. Again, definitions of terrorist activity. Most people, in fact, anyone is against terrorism, but in this case, it depends on how terrorism is defined. And if the Act considers terrorism to be all comments and actions by parties that oppose the current ruling party or the government, then I say South Africa will soon become more of a dictatorship. And that is a possibility with loose definitions. Again, definition of terrorist and terrorist activity is the same. is the suggested bill is aimed to set the country on a course towards totalitarianism. That is a possibility. This is exactly why we need strong definitions, focused definitions rather than broad definitions. Freedom of religion. Many churches and religious organizations are vocal during election times. That's a known fact. And also they align themselves with certain political parties and opposition parties and are openly expressive about individuals' activities. The concern there is, does such openness and freedom of expression classify them as terrorists? Well, unless we can improve intention, purpose, and define encouragement, then it might well do so. Other reasons, freedom of speech for individuals and the press is an essential part of a democratic society and must be protected at all costs, otherwise South Africa will once it become an autocratic country. And that is extremely important. As the next comment shows, this is exactly how the old apartheid national party stifled demonstrations by the public when they were afraid of criticism. It also involves freedom of the press to report as they like. That would be under threat, as it was during the apartheid eras. And these are very valid points, as there can be no doubt that these laws similar to this were used to curb freedom movement, which then brought about a democratic South Africa. So the biggest fears around here are losing our democracy and taking a step backwards as a society. Again, terrorist activity, too broad a definition, and there's no single internationally agreed upon definition of terrorism. If we're creating laws, then there needs to be an absolute clear definition as to what terrorist activity actually is. Otherwise, it can be used both in favor of the state and against the state in a defense. So it could weaken any criminal weaken any court case both ways. And that's about it. The full report and all the comments I have been supplied to the honourable members. I encourage you to go through them all, and this terrorism bill through this presentation as well. And also, it's available on our website at that link. In conclusion, I'd say there are major concerns around the definitions being too vague, and mostly around terrorists and terrorist activities. As I've mentioned, there are concerns around what constitutes intention and how do you prove a purpose and what exactly does encouragement of terrorism or terrorist activities really mean. There's no clear definition as to what encouragement entails. Concerns around the constitution and democracy being eroded, and One major conclusion that did come through: is there a need for this amendment bill when the existing legislation is effective and has been proven to be effective in a number of cases, some of them quite recent, in curbing terrorist and terrorist activity and funding of terrorist activity? Suggestions posed by the public and by ourselves would be temporary withdrawal, considering the threat of grey listing, or in case of that, we need to further amendments to clarify the loose definitions, tighten up the definitions, and let the public be aware of that, and I'm sure there'll be support from the public and other bodies in this matter. Thanks very much, and that's about it from me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hutchinson, for that informative presentation. We really appreciate you coming to the committee. We'll take a round of questions for responses, clarifications, or additions. I value the fact that you will stay until we have completed this session. Honorable members, we are now taking your responses I know to end. Mr. Atchison, please mute your mic. Honorable members?
Chair, you will start with me.
Yes. Your hand is still up. Remember, you're still there from the previous round.
It is, yes.
Yeah, so I Honorable Majosi, do you think I can forget you? Honorable Majosi and then Honorable De Blanche?
Can I go, Chair?
Honorable Majosi, you can give your input on the last presentation and on this presentation. We are supposed to still have all the members from the executive the civilian secretariat. We still have the deputy minister. We also do still have Mr. Smith and Mr. Van Breda. So if you have questions or submissions on the previous presentation, you may do so. You may also then comment on the current presentation. So Honorable Majosi, I'm sorry you were not, you had lost your connectivity. So the time is yours and you have sufficient time. Take your time to do so. Then Honorable De Blanche and then Honorable Groenewald. You may start, Honorable Majosi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. And also we welcome the presentation that we have just received now and all the public comments that were shared with us. First, maybe to say greetings also to Mr. Rob, yes. Mine is not necessarily a question, Chair, but it is a concern that we have such an act. I think Mr. Hutch, is it Hutchinson? What he expressed and what the public has expressed, especially on the Terrorist Act, the fact that the act is vague on itself, because it doesn't necessarily explain what should happen. It says if its activities. So my question from the previous presenter was that, so what does the act say exactly? Because now, if they were not able to explain, then we should have at least invited the SAPS as well to be able to be part of the committee so that they can explain more on certain acts that have been there. And maybe they will then allude on what are the acts or activities that would generally make a terrorist activity. So those are the concerns that I have, that we are living in very dangerous times and life. And if this would then, it was public, and if people who would want to attack would see such things. And I wanted to also zoom in on the government, that what the act does not say anything, that what will happen if, even if it's not foreign or illegal foreigners or South Africans themselves. But what happens if people now start holding the government at ransom? Because then we must have this differentiation in altogether so that you understand. But the act itself, it does not say anything. And I think maybe we must invite relevant structures that will be able to explain to us of this act. If that is not taken upon, I foresee danger that will be coming, Chairperson. I am expressingly concerned about this terrorist act and these activities that they mentioned. They say continuous activities or numerous activities, but what happens when on that time is that scenario when now the government is held at ransom? Because now it cannot do something that illegal people want the government to do. So those are the concerns that I have. But hopefully we'll get another chance to be able to to express ourselves and engage more with the relevant departments and find clarity on this act. Because if we do not have time now, but we must go through this thoroughly, so that whenever we present it, we present something that will benefit the public, will benefit us as well as members of parliament, and will benefit everyone that lives in South Africa, as much as the constitution say. And everyone must feel safe within that act of a terrorist act, and not that it remains as vague as it is currently. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Majozi. Honorable Majozi, we've had 5 sessions on the Poctetora Amendment Bill. This is our 6th session. We'll call all the relevant stakeholders again. But please, kindly, please, honorable members, engage us. Engage us in writing. We are asking you to engage us in writing. Write to the chair so that we could respond. We are not rushing through this amendment bill, but this is the 6th. Time that we have scheduled the item on the agenda. So please send us your questions and your requests and your proposed amendments. Honorable members, you are supposed to send me proposed amendments so that when we go through the amendment bill clause by clause, your proposed amendments are taken into account. Your proposed amendments will then go to the Office of the State Law Advisor, and the amendments will then be presented to the committee. Honorable members, I am expecting your written comments, questions, requests by next week, Wednesday, please. Nicolette, can you please write to all the members to remind them that the inputs have to be there by next week, Wednesday? Thank you very much. Honorable Tablanche, Honorable Shembeni, and then Honorable Groenewald.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me also start by thanking Mr. Hutchinson for this very, very informative presentation. I don't have questions to him specifically at this stage about the presentation, Chairperson. I'm just wondering about something else. This seems to be so comprehensive, and I was just my question is directed now to the police and the secretariat. My question is, have they considered this comprehensive input by this huge number of people? And you know, I just want to know, have they considered that, and have they aligned the bill with whatever was suggested? And I just want to make sure that inputs was considered and, you know, taken up in this bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tablanche. Honorable Shembeni, is your hand still up?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. I'm still concerned about...
After Shembeni, Honorable Groenewald.
Yes, Chair. I'm still concerned about the definition of terrorism. It still puzzles me. I think I will have to write to the Chair to try to get some other facts right, because as I said now, the originality of this terrorism and terrorism act, and looking at the post-1994 and the democracy thing, as we are talking about democracy now, terrorism, I don't find it satisfactory according to how it is defined. But I think now I'll have to write to the chair so that I get clarity somehow. Because as far as I remember, our late president is still regarded as a terrorist in America up until today. I think he's still on the list. I don't know whether it has been confirmed. But thank you, Chair. I'll come back to you.
Honorable members, this will be recorded in our minutes. I have not received a single suggestion for changes. We do not have a single member from this committee who has made a suggestion. I have not received a single member and not a single suggestion for changes. We are amending a bill. You have to suggest amendments or changes. If you are not going to do that in the committee, kindly please do submit that to me within a week. Thank you very much, Honorable Groenewald and then Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair. Morning to everyone, and also morning to Mr. Hutchinson. Chairperson, I think you've touched on the core of the issue here, and that is the definition. And I want to ask Mr. Hutchinson, I didn't see a proposal for a new wording for the definition. I hear the objections, and other stakeholders also have more or less the same objections. So may I ask Mr. Hutchinson if they can come forward with a proposed definition that will be satisfied as far as the DSA is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald. I think you understand very carefully what we have to do. We now have to propose or suggest changes or amendments. Thank you, Honorable Whitfield.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and thank you to Mr. Hutchinson for his excellent presentation. I think it's self-explanatory from my perspective, Chair. I have no questions. Only to say, Chair, that we are in the public participation process of the bill. So to be fair to members of the committee, all of these engagements are going to assist us, as well as the research that we do in order to make our inputs, and we still have to go clause by clause through the bill. So rest assured, Chair, you will receive input and suggestions. And as you've said, you've set the deadline only now today for Wednesday next week. So so please look out for our submissions, and I'm sure other members will do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Whitfield. I think we can agree as a committee, Mr. Hutchinson, that you represent a very broad community and constituency, and we really have to thank you for collecting all this information and assisting the committee with public participation. Mr. Hutchinson, you will remember that I've made this I've allowed you to do this presentation, and the committee has extended the time for presentations. So we've requested several times, we've re-advertised, and we have done considerable work when it came to submissions from the public and all forms of submissions. So this Mr. Hutchinson's presentation was upon their request, and because we had extended the opportunities for communities and stakeholders to give their inputs and their presentations. The work that you've done is well respected and well received. The presentation that you have made is commendable, and the committee would not have been able to achieve this kind of broad participation if you did not do this work. We really now, honorable members, have a broad view and a broad spectrum of different stakeholders. And I think that if there are any further public comments, we'll do so in writing, and they can present that to the committee in writing. Mr. Hutchinson, you are allowed to respond or comment. The floor is yours. But once again, my sincere appreciation for contacting me and requesting that the committee extends its deadline for public participation. It was extremely well worth our opportunity today, and I really think we took the right decision to give you the opportunity to bring us those inputs. Once more, thanks again for reaching out. Mr. Hutchinson, you have an opportunity now. I'll still be taking other further stakeholders would like to respond. Mr. Hutchinson, the first round of responses will come from you.
Thank you very much.
You'll get another opportunity if required.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's an honor to receive such praise for the work that we do as an organization. And we do it because our intention is to help government be a better government. And I think your comments today certainly solidified that and made that a reality for us. We really appreciate that. We will honor the requests made by Mr. Dr. Groenewald and provide a definitions of our definitions as an alternative to the existing definitions. But I'd like to thank the committee, all the honorable members, and especially the chair for allowing us to present the voice of the public here today. And we do it for all the committees, so we're looking forward to further engagement with Parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, do you have any further comments? Could I first ask Mr. Amaru? Mr. Hutchinson, are you happy now?
100% happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Amaru, do you have any further responses?
No, Chairperson, we don't have any. We will await Nicolette if there is anything that we need to assist the committee with. Thank you.
Honourable Whitfield, your hand is still up. Is a historical hand?
Apologies, Chair. I'll take it down.
Thank you. Deputy Minister, and then I'll summarise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to members, and thanks to Mr. Rob Hutchinson for his response to the bill. We appreciate the comments that members have made. What we can say, Chair, is that there is an act that is currently existing, which is this act that is before us, which we are amending, and that the existing legislation is in line with the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. And therefore, this new amendment does not infringe on the Constitution, and it will not have an impact on democracy, the right for people to say and do what they want to do. The amendments are intended to be in line with what is currently prevailing internationally, because we have signed we're part of international protocols that requires of us from time to time to amend legislations that govern international protocols as and when the need arises, with the evolution of technology that we are using and how people carry themselves in terms of engaging in criminal activities or terrorist activities. So we are aligning with that process. And as we do so, we will always be guided by the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution. But we appreciate this response and the approach that the committee has taken under your leadership, Chair, to give the public ample opportunity to communicate, because lawmaking is a public process. It's not only meant for us in Parliament to generate and conclude legislation. It allows for participation by the public. So we feel honored when we are subjected to this type of a process where we engage with members of the public and they make their comments. And we do take their comments seriously. And we appreciate, Mr. Hutchinson, the attitude of your organization and the people that you are presenting. Like you said, in principle, you support this legislation, the problem that you have is around how certain things are defined. And I'm happy that you are going to come forward with a formulation that talks to those specific areas where you are concerned. But generally, I'm happy that you are supportive of the bill. And I think even members here, Chair, even though you are still going to have a session, they have demonstrated their support to the legislation, which is quite humbling and encouraging to us who initiated this process through the Civilian Secretariat. And we would like to appreciate the opportunity you gave us and the work that the Secretariat, led by the Acting Secretary, Mr. Ramaru, they are continuing to do. We really appreciate this, not only yourself, but also your staff complement, Nicolette, Babalwa, and the team that is assisting you. We are quite grateful. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Kindly convey our appreciation and gratitude to our Honorable Minister. I would like to express my appreciation and gratitude to you in particular, since you have always been there and assisted us in our work. And there's been a serious approach from your side, assistance from your side towards the committee chair, the Honorable Whip, and the staff. Honorable Deputy Minister, we appreciate that. Then, Honorable Members, I'd like to thank all the presenters, Mr. Ramaru and his staff, the members that have been here, from the different departments. We have had Dear South Africa now. We have taken the inputs from the various commentator. They declined the invitation, as I said. We have had our inputs from the FIC. Mr. Peter Smith was here from the FIC. We've also had quite a number of Mr. Van Breda, your recommendations. We really appreciate your presentations and input, Mr. Van Breda. I'm now going to really indicate to you, Honorable Members, that the public participation will close. We will adopt the public participation report. So any further public participation, if I do not receive it, you, Honorable Members, yours is not public participation, yours is the input from the committee. Thus far, what we will consider to change based on the public participation and the comments of the members would be the definitions, especially that of the entity, and this will be aligned in the bill and will be amended to align it with the two pieces of legislation. That's my first summary and ruling. So it's the definition. Honorable Members, there's other proposed changes. So I've noted the following changes. You will then send me your proposed changes. My proposed changes would be the definitions. Secondly, the crypto assets will be included in the definition of property. The third recommendation is that the provision of terrorist training and not only receiving training will be included. Section 24A. 24A. I'm not sure, I don't understand the technical part of it, so I'll request legal advice on this. I really am not sure, but 24A will be revisited to specifically deal with the decryption assistance and passwords. I have no understanding of this, so I need clarity on this. I think my sons will also assist me in understanding this better, and that is, I'm not saying that facetiously, they have assisted me on this. They are also the public participants and they wanted to present to the committee. I told them it would be nepotism, so I haven't allowed my sons to present. They had their own interpretation of That's not a family matter, but they were not allowed to present to the committee. Section 24A will be revisited, as I said, will deal with decryption assistance and passwords or other access technology restrictions on electronic communications devices. And here we will reference to the United Kingdom laws, the UK Terrorism Act of 2006. Chair will also consider, and honorable members, I think that there's a common understanding from the side of the chair and the members and all the stakeholder participations that the definition of terrorist activity has to be amended. There was also a key decision on the humanitarian exception clause. If I haven't, this is my first and my initial summary. So if I haven't, if I haven't included your comments, as I'm saying, this is just my first understanding of my summary and what I will be recommending. I will include all your recommendations and will then refer yours individually and separately. Those would be the recommendations from the chair. I'm not going to take further comments from you now. Honorable Deputy Minister, Mr. Amaru, your team, I thank all the members from the other departments. I thank you, Deputy Minister. I'm very pleased with the work we have done thus far. Mr. Hutchinson, I'm very pleased with the work and the assistance you have given to the committee. I'm not going to take any further hands right now with those comments, honorable members. We have come to the end of our meeting. I thank you sincerely and respectfully. Thank you very much. The meeting is now closed.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.